The topic of immigration is one that is being discussed in small and large venues across the country. We talk about it an awful lot here on this program. And right now there is a brand new book, Global Crossings, Immigration, Civilization, and America. The author, Alvaro Vargas, joins us here on The Shilling Show. And thanks so much for being with us today. I'll tell you what, this is a hot-button topic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to please everyone.
Well, it is. And I guess I'd like to start out by talking about how the discussion of today's immigration issues differs from those of previous generations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is very important. Very significant here is that there is a huge similarity between current immigration and immigration that went on in the past. There are differences, but the really important point here is that the similarities in terms of the economic impact, in terms of assimilation, and so on and so forth, are very significant. There is a difference, I think, in the sense that For instance, in the early 20th century, you had what was called Americanization, which was not really government policy. It was just really a general attitude and perception by the entire country, and also shared by those who were coming in, by immigrants, that it was very important to learn English as quickly as possible, that it was really important to partake in the national process, to be a part of American society. And I wouldn't say that has disappeared, of course, because, again, I think there are very important similarities in terms of assimilation between what's happening now and what happened in the past. But I would say that because of a number of things that have happened in the last few decades, including multiculturalism and the idea that certain ethnic groups needed to be favored and helped, you have created a situation in which, yes, there have been incentives for people to assimilate less intensely, and that in turn has created a backlash on the part of people who of course, resent this and feel that they're being pushed out. So all of that has created perceptions, even if the reality is not as exaggerated as people think.
Alvaro Vargas is our guest. His book is Global Crossings. Before we go any further, where can people get a copy of the book?
Pretty much anywhere, bookstores, Amazon, our own website, www.independent.org.
Terrific. And we'll have a free copy of this book to give away to a lucky listener in just a few minutes, so stay with us. You've done a lot of research. This is a very scholarly work because you really document a lot of these things that you talk about in here, which I think is important and speaks well to the quality of the book. Why is it that people come to America, and has that changed?
Well, that's also a very interesting question because people think or tend to think generally that the economy, the search for a better standard of living is the only motivation behind massive immigration, and that's not really true. I mean, there's a broad spectrum of motives behind this. It has to do sometimes with distress conditions at home, and by distress I don't necessarily mean economically. Politically as well, institutionally, family ties, historical ties. There are countries such as the Philippines, with which the United States, of course, has a long history going back to the 19th century, that are important sources of immigrants for the United States. And yet neighboring countries neighboring the Philippines, for instance, or close to the Philippines, are not important sources of immigrants to the United States. So in that case, clearly, the historical ties with the United States are important. In the case of Mexico, for instance, in the beginning, in the early 20th century, it was not so much Mexicans wanting to come to the United States as U.S. business interests needing workers from Mexico and going all the way to Mexico to bring them over to the United States. So all of that has had an evolution, and things may have sort of changed. But the origin is important because those historical ties, in the end, conditioned a relationship that included, it was not, of course, limited to, but it included, as a big part of the deal, the flow of people. And of course, that has been carried all the way to the present.
977-1070 is the phone number right now to caller number 4. I have a free copy of Global Crossings. We're talking with the author right now, Alvaro Vargas. Global Crossings, Immigration, Civilization, and America. The caller number 4 at 977-1070. Ellie stands by at 977-1070. We have a free copy of this book for you. Let's talk about some of the things that you talk about in your book, the concerns over immigration policy. One of them is competition for jobs. We have a pretty high unemployment rate in this country right now. If we had increased immigration, doesn't that increase the competition for jobs?
Well, in theory, yes. In practice, no, because when you have unemployment, high unemployment, recessions, or slow growth, or whatever, I mean, difficult conditions in a country, in this case the United States, the flow of immigrants tends to slow down. From 2005 to 2010, you saw net immigration drop to literally zero and perhaps below zero, meaning more people were leaving than coming in. The market is never, of course, a given, a static condition. It's a permanently evolving beast, and so you have a situation which immigrants enlarge the pie, as it were, enlarge the economy through the division of labor and specialization, and therefore more jobs are being created. You can probably think of it in these terms. It's very similar to what happens within a country when a certain segment of the population joins the workforce that didn't used to work, not in those terms. For instance, since the end of the Second World War, we've had in the United States a massive number of people, both baby boomers and of course, in particular, women joining the workforce that were not there before. And yet long-term unemployment over the last half century or so has never been very significant at all, only in times of short-lived recessions. Well, in this case, when you're talking about immigrants, it's a similar effect. They join the workforce because there's jobs for them, and in turn, they help create more jobs by injecting, infusing new blood to the economy. Of course, in times of recession, the situation changes, which is why you always see an outflow of people in such times.
Let's talk about the effect on wages. We have a few listeners here who are tradespeople who call us on frequent occasion to talk about how their wages have been undercut by people who are here in this country illegally doing this work that they've done their whole lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked at this very carefully, and here's the situation. What tends to happen is that there's a very small impact at the lower end of the scale with low-skilled jobs, but only temporarily. And that is offset by the effect the inflow of immigrants has on native workers who move up the scale. And our calculation is that the net effect is a 1.8% positive. In other words, there is a rise in wages overall. That doesn't mean that in a short period of time you don't have a temporary effect at the lower end, but it's a very, very small one. It's much smaller than people realize. So if people are feeling that something is happening there, there must be other factors at work. Our calculation in general is that immigrants, illegal immigrants at this point, mm-hmm. are adding to the economy every year about $36 to $40 billion a year. And if they became legal, if they became documented, that number would be multiplied by 2.5 or 3. In other words, it would be tripled almost. So the net effect is positive, although, of course, in a discussion such as immigration, sometimes you can see certain things, certain effects, and you don't get to see the benefits, and so it's kind of hard to prove, and it's hard to make people feel more comfortable. But yet, this is research that not only I have done, but many other institutions, both left and right, have done, and the general consensus is that the positives far outweigh the negatives.
Let's go to Jerome real quickly on the line. Jerome, you're on with Alvaro Vargas. Go right ahead. I've got about 30 seconds for your question.
Hi. Well, it was a comment. I caught this conversation late, but I heard the comment that the effect on the native workers is not so strong. But what I have seen is that people who have been working for a longer time, painters and drywallers especially, for their pay has inched up over the years. Some of those people are getting laid off now, when people could do the work almost as well who who are coming in at entry level. And so I feel that some people have lost their jobs, have lost market share to much lower paid hourly workers, at least in those trades, painting and drywall.
Let's get a quick response from Alvaro. Go right ahead.
Yes, I mean, that is true, but my argument would be that, according to our research, immigrants have not been the primary cause of that. So we're kind of mixing here two different things. One is the effect immigrants have on the job market, and the other is what happens in times of recession or near recession, such as the times we live in right now.
A very interesting book, Global Crossings, Immigration, Civilization in America. He is a senior fellow at the Independent Institute. Alvaro Vargas, give us the website once again if people want to get a copy of the book.
www.independent.org, but you can get it on Amazon. You can get it anywhere, bookstores, pretty much anywhere in the country.
I don't think the debate's going away anytime soon. I appreciate you joining us today on The Shilling Show.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, indeed.